From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, the economic impact of Ebola.
But first, to today's meeting in Milan, Italy, between Russia, Ukraine, and European leaders. There are reports of progress on a key issue, the supply of Russian gas to Ukraine over the winter. But that comes as oil and gas prices have been plummeting. They're at four-year lows. And with Brent crude trading at $86 a barrel this morning, down about 25% since June, you're looking at good news for some, bad for others. Good news for drivers, perhaps, but worrying for economists who say it's being caused by slower economic growth all around the world. And it's certainly not good news for oil-producing countries like Russia or for Russian President Vladimir Putin, whose popularity at home has been driven partly by economic growth. Edward Lucas, senior editor for The Economist, joins us for London with more on this. Edward, welcome back.
Nice to talk to you, Jeremy.
Well, let's talk about how important oil revenues are to Russia, first of all.
Oil and gas are really what keeps Mr. Putin's regime going. The gas is sold expensively abroad and cheaply at home to keep Russians warm during the winter. And Russia's also one of the world's biggest oil exporters. And the revenues from both of those really do keep the budget afloat. And what's interesting is that whereas 10 years ago, the Russian budget was okay and in surplus when oil was about $40 a barrel, now oil has to be over $100 a barrel before the books balance. And that's one of the effects of the enormous waste and corruption that we've seen growing under the Putin regime over the last few years.
And we know that now it is not anywhere near $100 a barrel. It has fallen down to around $80 a barrel.
Absolutely. And the Putin is hurting as a result. He doesn't have the money for his military modernization, and he has to put at least something aside to keep the Russian people happy. So it squeezes him, but I don't think that it necessarily makes him any nicer. I think it just means he's got another headache.
Another headache in addition to the headaches that are coming from sanctions that are being imposed by the U.S. and Europe over Russia's intervention in Ukraine. But isn't this, in a way, the biggest sanction of all, to have a drop in oil prices?
It is a big sanction. It's worth remembering, and Mr. Putin certainly remembers, that it was a crash in the oil price that really brought the Soviet Union down when oil fell below $20 a barrel because the Saudis were pumping a lot and Russia was really, or the Soviet Union then, was very badly hit by it. But I think that one has to remember that Putin started this conflict with the West because he felt he had a lot of money in the bank, $400 billion or so in reserves. And he also saw that things were going against him, both in Europe and more widely. And so he needs a bit of a game changer. And I don't think he's going to back off now. He needs to rewrite the rules of the security game in both military and economic security in Europe. And that is proceeding reasonably well from his point of view. And I don't think he's going to cease and desist now just because a hole has appeared in his accounts.
What if the hole gets bigger, though? What if oil prices go down to $60 a barrel?
I think that if the oil price went down and stayed down for a long time, yes, it would be difficult for Putin. He'd be burning through his cash pile much faster. But what's actually happening as a result of this squeeze is that the things are getting nastier inside Russia. And we've seen this very clearly with the confiscation, in effect, of an oil company called Bashneft, which has been taken away from an inoffensive Moscow-based oligarch called Mr. Yevtushenkov and given to Rosneft, which is the very large oil company run by Mr. Putin's closest friend, Mr. Sechin. So I think what happens is, as the circle gets tighter, things inside the circle get nastier. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Putin sees any reason to back off either in Ukraine or in his general anti-Western stance.
There is also a theory that is bouncing around in Russia that this drop in oil prices is being manipulated by the United States, that this is purposeful and that it is an attempt to weaken the regime.
Would that it were so. It is true that we forced the oil price down in the 1980s with the help of the Saudis, and that had a very bad effect on the Soviet Union. I think that the oil price has gone down partly because of declining consumption in the West, which is the result of efficiency and the economic downturn, also because of American shale oil, which is the result of investment decisions taken a few years ago when prices were high. And I think that the oil price could easily go up again. We see the ISIS forces closing on Baghdad, and it's easy to imagine that Iraq, which is a very large oil producer, might become disrupted. So I think that this may turn out to be quite a temporary blip in the oil price, and I'm sure Mr. Putin is certainly hoping that.
And this is all happening, Edward Lucas, at a time when Putin is meeting with European leaders at a conference in Milan, including the Ukrainian president. There was reportedly no progress in the talks between Putin and Poroshenko. But what do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. I think even by his own lamentable standards, this is a particularly unpleasant tour for Mr. Putin. He started off in Serbia, where he yet again raised the nuclear question, this kind of nuclear blackmail of the West, warning them that the confrontation over Ukraine and sanctions could lead to, in his words, could endanger nuclear stability, which is extraordinary if you think about it. I mean, when would you ever hear a Western politician, with implicit threats of the use of nuclear weapons? And then he turns up in Milan. The talks with Poroshenko seem to have been very acrimonious. And then he keeps Angela Merkel, the German leader, who's really the most important Westerner, the only one who still phones him up and talks to him and, you know, tries to maintain some sort of semblance of a relationship. He keeps her waiting so long that she cancels the meeting. Then he turns up very late to the formal dinner of European leaders. So he seems to be European and Asian leaders. So he seems to be treating the outside world with the sort of ingrained contempt, which I think probably reflects the kind of xenophobic propaganda that has now become the hallmark of the regime at home.
Edward Lucas, senior editor for The Economist magazine and author of the book The New Cold War, which has just been republished. Edward, thank you so much as always.
Thank you, Jeremy. It was a pleasure.